Good morning again. We are going to be in the first psalm this morning after we open up with prayer, and we'll get right into it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day you have given us. And Lord, now as we come and open your word, as we open a psalm that we've heard many times before, Lord, let us have a new light into that psalm, Lord. Let your spirit move in our hearts and minds to open up the choices that we have in this life, Father. We thank you that your servant David wrote these things, Lord, for us, that we could sing them and we could pray them and we could celebrate them and we can repeat them over and over. And each time it gives us new strength and new sight into your will, Father. We thank you for this. Now, Lord, please take me out of this and let your spirit speak for itself to the hearts and minds of those here today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have all seen a picture of two roads. I mean, many of us in high school had to memorize, I believe it was Robert Frost poem about the two roads and the one less traveled. Many of you remember that. But we've seen the photos, we've seen the pictures, and there's always this divergence, and it's like the person that's looking has to make a choice. They have to go one way or the other. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, that is a truism. That is something that is very definite. In fact, we see many examples of this. Even in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 13, you remember when Abram at that time, Abram, he and Lot, their herdsmen had been fighting, and so they went up to this mountain, and they were like, hey, Abram was like, all right, Lot, choose which way you're going to go. And he looked, and he saw off one direction where the water was flowing and the grass was green and the fields looked wonderful. And he decided he was going to go that direction. Well, that direction was in the direction of Sodom. So not everything that looks green and pleasant leads to a good outcome. However, we understand that there are two roads that we can go down in this life. That of the godly and that of the ungodly. And that's what Psalm 1 is talking about. But I want us to understand that in this life, we must choose which direction we're going to travel. We must choose which path we're going to follow. Now we need to look before us, and we need to see, do we see a life of difficulty but with great future reward? Some people describe that as being a person of faith. Because with faith, we have to understand that our hope and are in things that are unseen. Sometimes unheard, but necessarily given to us by the Word of God? Or do we see a life of ease with immediate pleasure, but ultimate destruction, ultimate disaster? Now, we all may sit here and say, well, yes, I would, of course, choose the way that ends with future blessing, even though life is hard, but would we really? Every day we make choices about whether to follow the Word of God, to be a godly person, to live out our faith, or to go the way of the world. The Bible's very clear. Even Jesus himself in Matthew 7, if you want to look that up with me, Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Again, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus speaking. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So Jesus himself is saying, look, you have the narrow way, the straight gate, and you have the wide gate and the broad way. I've seen cartoons of two churches, and one on its marquee out front says, we tell you what you want to hear, and the line is long. And then the other marquee says, we tell the truth of the Bible, and there's only two or three people there. And unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we see that in society. We see that in American Christianity. We see that where we want to hear what we want to hear, but if you are truly a child of God, you want to hear the truth. And not only do you want to hear the truth, you want to live the truth, even if it's difficult, because you understand that there is a blessing and a reward. And that is being a child of God. It's very important that we understand that. He states emphatically, Jesus does, that many will go into the wide gate and fall along the broad way which leads to destruction. Yet the narrow way is there for the few who find it. But find it we must if we're going to follow Jesus our Savior. Now, I want to move from Jesus back in time to the times of King David. Now, most of our Bibles, when you see the Psalms, you'll have a heading up there that says a Psalm of David or a Song of Korah or something like that. Well, most of the Bibles that I've looked at don't have anything for Psalm 1. So I looked it up and it said that this is a Psalm of David, even though it may not be listed in your Bible. So David described the two roads or ways of life that are set before men. Let us read Psalm 1 together. Psalm 1, starting with verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But on the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly. You know, when I was back in Leesburg, Mississippi, when I was a child, when we memorized that, y'all remember back in the old days when if you made it to every Sunday school section, you got a little pen or a little cross or something. I memorized. And it is because the Holy Spirit reveals something new. No matter how many times you read a verse, something all that and the ungodly. And that's what we're going to examine this morning. We are charged in our examination with deciding on which path we should follow. And this is one that we can do, and the positive, which he does do. And we see that he walks not in the counsel of the... I'm going to come back to blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What is the counsel of the ungodly? Well, that's anybody or anything that tries to pull you away from the truth presented in the Word of God, both Old and New Testament. But you see, the fool like to spin things. They like to take things out of context. They like to twist the Scripture. In fact, just this week, you got to be careful when you're on YouTube, folks, about the Apostle Paul. What I need is that Paul was actually a false apostle and that he was ungodly in what he... Now, first of all, that kind of makes me think that these people are not Christian because you can't even believe that God who created the heaven... But these people were very adamant. But the Bible speaks of seed out of 2 Peter. And this is what Peter said about 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. Now this is Peter speaking. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul. Now if Paul was false, Peter wouldn't be calling him brother for first. According to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. God gave Paul wisdom. Peter recognizes it. And says that that wisdom is from God. Verse 16, and also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which in which are some things hard to understand, which they, catch this is the ungodly, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest. That means they twist, they take it out of context. And they do also the other scriptures, so not only Paul, but the entire Bible, unto their own destruction. You better understand and rightly divide the Word of God because if you do not, it leads to your destruction. Now that counsel from these people on YouTube are the counsel of the ungodly. And when you see something like that and you know what the truth is, you need to find it in the Word of God and you need to run away from it. So we do not listen to truth. To foolish lies, but we listen to the truth. Do we follow counsel of fools that spout such things, who court eternal punishment for their sins while they belittle God's people by not only denying God, but mocking the very Lord that gave up His life for them? We do not follow the counsel of the ungodly. Let me give it to you in a way that is very easily understood. You have a brain tumor. You need surgery. You do not get an opinion or a second opinion from a child in kindergarten. Okay? I was going to say from a plumber, but there might be some plumbers here, and I didn't want to do that, okay? But you don't get medical advice for a brain tumor from a kindergarten child. You do not get spiritual counsel from those who do not know God. Because if you do, it will lead you down the same path, if you follow it, to the destruction that they await themselves. All ungodly counsel should be avoided. So does not the blessed man, he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but he does not stand in the way of sinners. Now what this means is that the blessed man follows not the broad way that leads to destruction, but the narrow way which leads to life. Folks, the narrow way is the only way. Because Jesus in John 14 tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. No one can be reconciled unto God except by Jesus Christ. Now, when King David was writing the psalm, Christ had not appeared on the scene on earth yet. So he was following the Word of God, the law of God, the Mosaic law. He was trying to be what God wanted him to be. Did he make mistakes? Yes, he did. And we can read all about that. But he was a man after God's own heart. And he sought the counsel of godly. And he did not, for most of his life, stand in the way of sinners. It also means that the blessed man is not to imitate those who rebel against God. You know, we see things on TV, and I guess nowadays they call them influencers. Are you familiar with that term? There's these young people that get on YouTube, and they show products, and they show destinations, and they have this whole life, and people actually pay them to do this. Brothers and sisters, if you're wrong, you're wrong. And it doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle you have. You may be the wealthiest man in the world and still be bound to go straight into the gates of hell if you deny God. The ungodly do such things. Well, not only does he not stand in the way of sinners, he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. This means he does not ridicule or falsely accuse those around him. It means he does not sit in judgment with a wicked purpose. It also means he does not make place for those who mock true Christians in his life or her life. We do not act scornful toward the things of God. Even sometimes they make us uncomfortable. Even sometimes we have a desire and we think it's godly and we think it's necessary, but God has revealed to us in some fashion that it is not His will. Even in those times, we're not to become scornful. We're to follow the will of God. Now, that's the negative aspects. The man does not do these things. But I want to kind of reiterate that from some works that I had when I was studying by a fellow by the name of Spurgeon. Some of you may have heard of him. But he says this about Psalm 1 and his treasury of David. He, that is the blessed man, is a man who does not walk in the counsel of ungodly. He takes wiser counsel and walks in the commandments of the Lord his God. His footsteps are ordered by the word of God and not by the cunning and wicked devices of carnal men. It is a rich sign of inward grace when the outward walk is changed and when ungodliness is put far from our actions. Note next that he stands not in the way of sinners. His company is of a choicer sort than it was. Yes, he's still a sinner, but he is now a blood-washed sinner, quickened by the Holy Spirit and renewed in heart. And again it is said, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He finds no rest in the atheist's scoffings. Let others make a mock of sin, of eternity, of hell, of heaven, and of the eternal God. This man, the blessed man, has learned better philosophy than that of the infidel and has too much sense of God's presence to endure to hear his name blasphemed. The seat of the scorner may be very lofty. It may be high up. But it shall soon be empty, and destruction shall swallow up the man who sits therein. Well, I could preach a month of Sundays on each one of those statements. But they're all true. The blessed man avoids mockers, sinners, and the ungodly. Do we avoid them? Now, sometimes you can't help it. I remember when I was in the service, there were a lot of men I know that I had to be locked up in a submarine with who were not exactly godly types. I knew when I had jobs, sometimes I had to work with people that weren't ungodly. That were ungodly. But you know what? God is merciful and forgiving even to people like that. And those folks, if there is a true witness that they can be around, I prayed for every opportunity that God would allow me to stand on the truth so that when folks saw what I really believed and what I really acted like, they would see Christ. Not me, but that I devoted my life to following the Savior. So, That's what the blessed man doesn't do. What does the blessed man do then? Well, let's read verse 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Thus the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. Now for us, this means the Word of God, both written and incarnate. It is the Word of God that we take our delight in. It is the Word that the blessed man meditates, concentrates, memorizes, contemplates, and prays. Now mark this positive character. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He is not under the law as a curse or a condemnation, but he is in it. Because if we are in Christ and Christ has kept the law perfectly, then we have kept the law perfectly in Christ. Therefore, we are in the Word, the living Word of God. He is in it, and he delights to be in it as a rule of his life. He delights, moreover, to meditate in it, to read it day by day, and to think upon it by night. How many of us have been laying in bed at night, and we're agitated and irritated and anxious about all these things that have happened to us, and God will put his Word that we have read or heard that is in our heart, and he will bring it to our mind, and we will have peace. It happens a lot more than people like to admit. But it does for those that follow God. In fact, it says the blessed man takes the text and carries it with him all day long. And in the night, when sleep forsakes his eyelids, as a poet would say, he contemplates upon the Word of God. In the day of his prosperity, he sings psalms out of the Word of God. And in the night of his affliction, he comforts himself with promises out of the same book. We hear the promises of God and we believe them. This is the blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord, because it is the promise of God to each and every one of us that we may have not only the Word of God, but God himself within us through the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful thing. So, we can say that the law of the Lord for the blessed man is the daily bread of the true believer. You remember when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus was hungry. I like the King James word, a hungered. It's kind of like what we say, and we say hangry nowadays. But it says that he was hungry, he was tired, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he had wandered around the wilderness praying. And this was right after his baptism, where God himself, the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Just after that, Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the very first thing the devil went after was his physical weakness. Jesus was hungry. And the devil said, "Okay, if you're the Son of God, why don't you make these stones into bread?" You know, Jesus could do that. Remember the loaves and the fishes? He could do that. But he did not want to be apart from his Father's will, just as we do not want to be apart from our Father's will. So what did he say? He quoted scriptures. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." God's word should be a true believer's daily bread. We are to be blessed the way he wants us to. So this road, this lifestyle that the blessed man has, it will garner certain blessings for him. The psalmist writes that the man will be like a tree planted by the water, which bears its fruit when it is ready in due season. Now, I don't know how many of y'all were raised in the country. I consider this part of Missouri the country, okay? But when my uncle and my granddad had cows, there would always be a farm pond right out in the middle. Right out in the middle. And it would occasionally, of course, you know, we only get snow once every 4 years where I'm from. So on the once in a decade time that it did ice over, you could actually see the cows trying to break through the ice and everything. It was funny to watch. But there was always one big tree on the bank of that pond. And the cows would gather around it and they would get in its shade. And no matter if it was 5-6 weeks without rain, because that tree was planted by the cow pond, and it was not just a little shallow drinking trough, this was a deep pond, that tree was always green in the summer and spring. And the cows always gathered around it. And you could see the roots of that tree growing up from the bottom and spreading out into that water, and that describes exactly what we're talking about. the tree planted by the water that bears its fruit in due season when it is ready. That is what the blessed man has. He has strength. He has nourishment. He has not only physical water, but he has the living water. Remember Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. He said, you would ask me, I would have given you fountains of living water. This is the living water that we plant ourselves by as Christians so that we can grow and we can be strong and we can have everything we need when the time comes for our testing. It's an amazing thing to see that because God knew exactly what He was talking about. And it says for the man, his leaf will not wither. Now that does not mean you're not going to get sick. It means that your life, your eternal life that you received when you believed will be protected by God. Romans 8, the very end, tells us, and I'm going to paraphrase, neither height nor depth nor things created or under the earth, above the earth, all that, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Your life as a child of God is protected, even if your life, physical life here on earth ends. Your life in Christ goes on forever. That is a promise of God. So when we hear of people that we knew and loved that go on to where the mansion that God has promised them, we don't need to be like other people. Oh, we're never going to see them again. Oh, we're never going to be able to. Yes, you will. Because God does not let that leaf wither if you are His child, man or woman. And it's an amazing thing that we see in that. And not only does it say that, it says that whatsoever he does will prosper. Now, we have to be extremely careful because there are certain groups that take this verse completely out of context. If you're a child of God and you want to do something wicked, do you think God's going to prosper that? So that can't be the whatsoever. The whatsoever that David talks about means whatsoever the blessed man does within the will of God, what God wants that man to do. In fact, that if you are your delight is in the law of the Lord and you meditate upon it day or night, the things that you want are the things that God wants. And that if you do the things that God wants, He will prosper them. And you will not lose your leaf, as it were, for eternal sins. So we don't need to misread that part. You see, where the problem lies with our misunderstanding that is sometimes we confuse our will, our health, our safety, our wealth with what God wants for us. Brothers and sisters, I had a long career as a paramedic, and I had a sweet little old lady tell me one time, I was taking her to a hospital. She was a no-code, which means if she passed on, I wasn't to do anything except make her comfortable until we got to the hospital. And me and her got to talking. And that's one of the things that God used to pull me into ministry was I got to talk with so many saints as they were about to go home. And she had terminal cancer. And now she was quite elderly. She was like 92 years old. And of course, when we left the house, you can imagine how the family was acting. They all knew the time was near. But we got in the ambulance and I was talking to her and she looked at me and she said, first thing she said, are you a believer? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I want you to know something. She said, you saw all them out crying when I left. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go be with Jesus. And I said, that's good, ma'am. He's ready for you. And she said, but you know what? Everybody thought my cancer was bad. Because I had cancer and because Jesus was with me, I had three nephews get saved because they saw how I handled this. And I said, well, hallelujah, ma'am, that's good. That's good. Of course, I was sitting here trying to write a report while all this conversation was going on. But she said, even affliction in God's hands can be the will of God. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I put my pad down. I started listening. And we had a blessed conversation all the way to the hospital. She made it to the hospital. In fact, I actually ended up taking her home 3 days later. But at that moment, she thought, and we had a bonding as a brother and sister in Christ because of her faith that whatever she went through,
It was in God's hands. So because we get sick, because we lose our job, because we lose a family member, it does not necessarily mean that that's the end of the world, because we have the hope that God gives us. We need to exercise that hope. We need to trust that hope. We need to have faith in that hope. Why? Because we're about to read what happens to the ungodly compared to the blessed man. So let's stop now and reread Psalm 1, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 1, 4 and 5. The ungodly are not so, so they're not blessed, is what it's saying. They are not so. They don't do all these things that the blessed man does. They do not delight in the law of the Lord, that kind of thing. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now these are the same ungodly that we saw in verse 1 where it says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It's the same ungodly people. And what does the Bible say about them? It says they're going to be like chaff. Now, I've never threshed wheat, but I have hauled hay. And when you get that hay and you start binding together in bundles and bales, and you start throwing it, man, that little bitty fine dust comes off and gets all over your clothes and gets in your t-shirt and your shorts and your hair and your ears, and it gets everywhere. But it's not in the hay. The wind is blowing that away. And it sees, you wash it off, it goes out in the field, and it turns out into nothing. In fact, when they do thresh wheat, a lot of the times the chaff is gathered up and it's burned because it's useless. That is what the ungodly are like. Why would a child of the Most High listen to the counsel of one who will be blown away as chaff in the wind? Now, some of y'all are around my age. How do many of you remember Kansas' song, Dust in the Wind? Okay, you realize that was 45 years ago? You want to feel old? Think about that for a moment. But that's what the ungodly are like. They're like dust, they're like chaff in the wind. And it rings true for the ungodly, because the ungodly will be driven away by the holiness of God's divine wrath against doers of wickedness. Such people will not be counted among the righteous. Such people will not stand in the judgment. Now what does that mean? That means when God opens the books and there are some written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now remember, back in the time of David, there was not the Lamb's Book of Life yet, but there was the Book of Life. And those that followed God were in it, and those that did not were not in it. Daniel talks about the books being opened. And those that stand before the great white throne will be judged. And when they are judged as sinners, they will not stand any longer before the presence of God. The ungodly are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life for us. And their eventual situation will be just like it says in verse 6, the ungodly will perish. The way of the ungodly would perish. Their eventual situation is everlasting destruction. Well, some might ask me, and I know some folks down the road here that would say, well, if God destroys, then you cease to exist. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Let me tell you about these folks. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God, the ungodly, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the ungodly. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The destruction lasts forever. It is an ongoing word in the Greek. It keeps going. It happens and it keeps going. So the destruction that the ungodly face isn't one time and then you're gone. No, it is a continual process. So we need to know that. But I want to tell you, I don't want to end on a down note. I don't want to say just, oh, judgment, judgment. No, I want to tell us that we as brothers and sisters in Christ were at one time condemned with the ungodly, but because we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Son of God, we believed on His name and that He was dead, buried, and raised again to new life, that He was resurrection, ascended to the Lord, and He's coming again to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. We believe all that. We have hope. There is joyous good news according to the gospel that we are told to believe. There is forgiveness for those who repent and believe the gospel. We just read that those who did not believe the gospel would be judged. But now those that do believe the gospel will receive everlasting life. And that everlasting means the same as it did for the other. It's ongoing. It's everlasting. It's permanent. And we love that because Christ gave it to us through His blood. There is forgiveness. Didn't Jesus preach? The very first things Jesus preached was repentance and faith. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then He talked about faith. We need to understand that we came through Christ because of repentance when we agree with God that our life is sinful and that He loved us enough to forgive us when we confess and repent of those sins. We preach faith and repentance in the one true Son of God, that is Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the crucified and risen Lord, who is coming again, as we've said already. Folks, I get excited when I start talking about that. Now, I'm not going to go Pentecostal and start swinging from the chandeliers and ceiling fans and jumping over pews, but I get excited. Why? Because I know that what the Bible tells me is the truth. It is the truth, and not a lie of the devil or a lie of the ungodly can change that. That's why I don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, because they ain't got a pig's brain idea of what the truth is. Sorry, I'm using some Mississippi terms there. If I throw you, I'm sorry. But you know, even a child will believe you if you tell them the truth. Only when the devil intervenes and our sin nature takes over, and we want our selfish desires, then we start living the life of the ungodly. Then we will listen to the counsel of the godly. Then we will stand where the sinners stand, and then we will sit in the seat of the scornful. But a blessed man, a godly man, will refuse to do stuff because we know the truth. Doesn't mean we're not going to mess up. David himself messed up, and messed up big time. He shouldn't have been hanging out on the roofs, checking out the local women, if you understand what I'm talking about. He even ended up committing murder, not by himself, but by his order, which he's still guilty of. But yet, God forgave him. He had to go through some consequences, but God forgave him because he turned back to God. The ungodly do not turn to God, first, last, whatever. But those who are godly, who have been forgiven, who know the compassion and mercy of God Almighty, they can turn to God and they will be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the love for what God has done for us. So there are those two roads. One is narrow, one is straight, and the other is broad and wide. Few find, as Jesus' own words, that narrow path. But don't we realize that when we find the path to Christ, we are born of God. We are children of God. John 1, check it out. When we go down that path toward holiness, toward godliness, toward faith, toward belief, we are born again, recreated. I believe it goes down even to our physical DNA level. We are recreated as a child of God. And we should be thankful. Because you see that last verse in Psalm 1, verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. You see, when you are righteous in Christ, can't be righteous on your own, but when you are righteous in Christ, God knows you. You know, that can either make you happy or that can scare the ever-living daylights out of you. God knows you. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every thought you make. He knows every lie you've ever told, and yet He still loves you. He loves you. And He wants you to choose the right road to go down in your life. He really does. And yet, not only does He know the way of the righteous, but But he says that the way of the ungodly, that is the path, the road that they chose along with themselves, they shall perish. So again, there are the two roads in front of you. There's you looking at the picture with one road going one way and one going another way. You know that if you go left, you're going to have a difficult life in some circumstances, but you're going to have future rewards and blessings and be with God for eternity. And you see the other road on the right, and you see the immediate pleasure that you may receive, because sin is pleasurable for a season. The Bible says it. But after that season is over, you are destroyed. That's your choices. So which one will you choose? Which gate will you enter? Which path will you take? And those questions lead into some other questions. Will you ignore the counsel of the ungodly? Will you not listen when people start mouthing off gibberish and ungodly trash? Doesn't mean you have to be unfriendly or not nice. I'm not talking about that. But you don't take their counsel to heart. Are you going to stand away from those who try to pull you into their sin and refuse to sit with the scornful, regardless of where or how high their chair may be in society? There are some very powerful people in our society, whether they be politicians or idols of some sort. They sit in high chairs. They seem like they have everything, but they are scornful. Their end is the same as the ungodly. Will you delight in the law of the Lord? And will you meditate upon it day and night with all your heart and mind? Will you sit and look at God's Word and dig for the nuggets and let the Holy Spirit teach you of the ways of God? The blessed man does. Will you not only read the Word of God? You know, I've talked to some people sometimes said, well, I've read the Bible the whole night. You know, I took one night and I read all the way through it. Well, good for you, but do you remember anything? Because I can sit there and read an IKEA manual and put it down, and it doesn't mean anything. I could take and read through the whole Bible in one night without remembering anything, because I'm not doing it to read and study the Bible. I'm doing it for a clock. You've got to read and study it, to learn it, to live it out in your life. Will you be able to do that as a blessed man or a blessed woman? You will. Will you allow that living water we talked about to strengthen you and grow your roots where they are planted, where God has planted you? Will you bear fruit in your season and prosper in the thing God calls you to do? If you're a blessed man or woman, you will. If you are willing to repent and believe the gospel, because why? Because Jesus says that He will in no way cast you out if the Father sends you by the calling of the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to do all these things? You see, the blessings for the godly man or the godly woman await. Will you be blessed? Or will you reject such blessings for selfish and prideful reasons? You need to come to the living water. You need to come to the fountain of all life. You need to come there so that He, Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, will bless, strengthen, and encourage you with His love, mercy, forgiveness, and compassion. Seek Jesus, and you will be the blessed man or woman who loves the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So, brothers and sisters, there's the choices. There's the roads that lie before you. Which road will you travel down? Which choices will you make? Well, brother, I'm already saved. Hallelujah. But you know, sometimes we like to peek. I used to say on the road map, but now I guess it's the GPS in your phone. We like to see if there's other paths to where we're going sometimes. And we try to wander away off the path that we know is right. See what we can see. Well, that might be fine when you're adventuring, but when it's your life, that's not the best idea. You see, in the book, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, Christian, the character, is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and there's a very narrow passage that goes, and on the mountain beside him, and in the valleys on either side of the road are all kinds of things like demonic forces and death and pestilence and all kinds of things. And if he varies off that path, even in the little bit, he will fall into destruction. But he keeps his eyes on the celestial city. He keeps his eyes on Jesus Christ. And as he's traveling, his feet are firmly planted on that narrow path. Blessed is the man who loves God. Blessed is the woman who follows Christ. And if you do that, you will truly be a great tree planted by the living water, whose leaf does not wither, who bears fruit in its season, whatever season God has called you into. Whatever you do in the will of God, it will prosper. They are the two paths. Choose wisely. We're about to go into a time of song and invitation. I would really pray, brothers and sisters, first of all, if you're young or even old and you don't know Christ, get to know Him. Choose the right path. But if you do know Him and you've wandered away from Him, get back on the right path. Get back on the right road. Strengthen yourself. Return to the Lord, and He will bless you and keep you from all harm. The world, the flesh, and the devil will not prosper against you if you are in Christ. Thank you. Praise team.